What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 26th, 2018. I know what you're thinking. You're all supposed to remind me today that my mother's birthday is tomorrow. Don't screw it up. I already ordered it. I already ordered some stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Not much. What's good with you?
You know, I had a great weekend playing some video games. Ooh. Played Sea of Thieves. Ooh. Played Far Cry 5. Ooh. And now I'm on my way to Los Angeles today to go guest on my friend Tatiana Carrier's show, The T. It's at twitch.tv/the_T.
When's it on?
It's on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. Okay. Very
cool. So I will be there in Los Angeles co-hosting with her. It's a really fun music show. So not about video games.
Okay. You talking about Weezer?
Maybe. I do enjoy Weezer, but I have a feeling we might be talking about Drake playing Fortnite.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah,
and amongst other things, she gets a lot of fantastic musical guests. So if you guys have never checked it out and you like listening to cool music and discovering new artists, check out her show.
Now, not only do I feel like I haven't hosted this show with you in forever, because we haven't.
No.
You were gone all last week. We had guest hosts. They were all amazing. Thank you very much. I feel like I just haven't seen you in forever, because even at GDC, we were ships in the night.
Yeah.
We went to the same events, but we'd miss each other.
Yeah, I think I saw you once last week.
Was it even that? When? What was I doing?
I thought I saw you on Tuesday at some point.
Okay.
Maybe not.
I don't think you saw me at all. I think we kept trying to see each other. It was impossible.
I saw Mrs. Miller.
Yeah.
Like three times.
She's out there.
Yeah, she was hustling last week.
Yeah, yeah. Have you recovered?
My voice is still a little scratchy.
Yeah.
Still a little tired.
Yeah.
I still have one interview left to cut, but otherwise, good. Yeah.
Did you dodge being sick at all? It was very rainy, obviously, conventions in general.
Yes. Hot beds. I mean, I take vitamins. I sleep. I drink water.
Yeah, good.
I also have the immune system of a tank.
Yeah.
I just don't get sick of cons.
For the amount of cons you and I go to, I think that's the thing where your immunity's built up. However, this is the one where I did catch a head cold.
Oh.
I finally caught up to me.
You didn't get it from Joey Noel?
Joey Noel had the full-on flu and was on her deathbed, from what I hear.
Oh,
was she maybe interviewing at other places?
Did you
possibly
Lysol The Office?
And we did that when Nick got shingles, and I feel like that covered us for a year in it, right?
Sick. You gotta do it every time.
That's not how I understand it.
Spray and have Kevin walk around spraying everything.
You just don't understand antibodies, and that's what the Lysol gave The Office, and now the LaCroix keeps everything else out. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, head over to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun, including questions about Far Cry 5. That will be a majority of reader mail today. Andrea has played a bunch of it. I've played a little bit less, and we have first impressions now that the review embargo is up. Let me tell you this, and I don't say this lightly. Stone Chin, Alex Monet over there at Ubisoft, they can go to hell.
What?
They knew last week was GDC, and they still gave us the code on the Monday of GDC. I feel like they should have known that would be difficult for you and I, and
yes,
they should have either pushed it up a week or pushed it back a week and moved the release date for our whims so we'd have more to say. Because instead we're out there interviewing freaking people.
Neither of those lovely gentlemen had anything to do with the release
date. From what I understand, Stone Chin is second in command to Yves Gamal. Put in your questions there. We read them there, just like we all these Far Cry stuff. Then you can watch us record the show live at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Revamped kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, of course. Just a Google form so anyone can submit, because something went on with the security authorization and Joey was dead, and I'm not sure if it ever got fixed. So we're just doing that for now. If you like that, you do that. You give us what we screwed up. We then set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. No matter where you get the show, thank you for your support.
You know what's exciting about the new format for You're Wrong?
What's that?
Is that it gives you a percentage breakdown of the people who submit answers. Luke Carr Wolf in the lead.
Oh, no. Now it's a game? We've gamified You're Wrong?
Well, they can't see.
Capitalist Pig has got to get on this. He's going to be all over it. Housekeeping for you, believe it or not. GDC's, the body isn't even cold in the ground yet, but PAX East is coming up. I'm here to remind you that Kinda Funny's first annual PAX East Chicken Wing Ding, BYOW, it's our PAX panel, and it's going to be as stupid as it sounds, bring your own wings, is happening Thursday, April 5th, 7:30 p.m. in the Dragonfly Theater. Confirmed guests, myself, Joey Noel, Andrea Renee, and Jeff Ramsey. Will there be other people? Probably. If you're listening and you are in the industry and you just want to come, whoever's coming, remember, bring your own chicken wings. And don't, like, you know, extra points if you make your own chicken wings. If they're homemade, the points count for nothing. Nothing. This doesn't go anywhere. We're just going to eat chicken wings and do one of our dumb panels. Will we ice people on stage now? Will we chug beers on stage now? No. We got in a lot of trouble last PAX East about that. We're not going to do that. We're all going to be very respectful. I expect you to bring boxes of wine, and we will drink it respectfully.
Yes. Okay. Respectful okay. drinking.
Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
What's Good Games has a panel as well.
That's correct. What's Good Games Live is Friday at 3 p.m. in the Arachnid Theater. We will just be doing like a live version of our show.
Are you bringing the pillows?
The pillows.
The pillows from the couch. Everybody's always holding a pillow in the couch. You got to have pillows up there.
No, because it takes up too much space in my luggage. But gotcha. I am contemplating making a cardboard cutout of Alexa Ray.
Oh.
Since she is still on leave and she will not sadly be able to join us at our panel at PAX. So we've got a lot of questions about her. She made an official statement on the show, not this past week, but the week before in the second segment. If you guys want to hear, she like sent us a message about, you know, how she's doing and when she's coming back. And so if you guys want to check that out, but yeah, so I kind of, we're thinking of getting some guests to come on, but we haven't finalized that yet.
Sure. Okay.
But we are also doing a What's Good Games happy hour at PAX East. Oh,
when's that?
It is Friday from 5 to 7 Very at nice, the Whiskey Priest.
Nice. Yeah. I figure after our panel, when we're all winged up, we're just going to walk over to Harpoon Brewery. So we'll bring a few hundred people and say, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's party. You know what I mean? Because that's how we roll. Also, this episode of the Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I appreciate Cool Greg. He's there. He's got it. It's not. I know what I'm going to get every time from Cool Greg. Kevin, never sure. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much, Cool Greg. Also, shout out to Cool Greg. We're both wearing this burnt orange thing today. I'd say hook 'em horns. I can say it, I guess, now. Hook 'em horns. Because we're in Mizzou no longer in the Big 12. I don't have to worry about it.
So you're just going to jump to another school?
No, I'm just saying I'll happily throw that up now. You know what I mean? Kansas, still a cesspool and dead to me. But now that I don't have to worry about the Longhorns in my division, whatever. Sure, hook 'em horns. Okay. Number one. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon creator has left Ubisoft and gave an incredibly honest interview to Game Informer. Normally, this would have been, would I have put it in there? Maybe we just get a paragraph. But this is an interview everybody should go read over at Game Informer. I'm going to read three paragraphs from it. After nearly a dozen years of collaborating on successful video games in the Far Cry, Splinter Cell, and Assassin's Creed franchises, Dean Evans has left Ubisoft. Best known for leading the boisterous marketing campaign and creative direction for the neon-infused homage to 1980s action films, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, Evans most recently was working on a new game concept with Ubisoft that the company shelved. In that aftermath, Ubisoft offered him a chance to join the editorial leadership group in Paris, but he instead chose to step aside. Quote, I split with my wife, and then the project I was working on was canceled. All of this massive shit going on at the same time, and I started thinking, is the best option for me to move to another foreign country, Evan says. I'm 40 this year, and it's so fucking cliche, but you do think about it in the same way you do. You do think about it in the same way you do when you turn 30. These milestones, you start thinking about what you really want to be doing and whether you're making the right decision. He goes on to talk about being, maybe he was full of shit. People have called him on, you know, AAA development. Maybe he should go make his own thing. It's just a very, and they call it in the Game Informer interview, a meandering interview. But it's like, wow, what a real life person giving a real life statement. When usually this is like, yes, I've decided me and the teams are going in different directions. Da, da, da. Here's this guy just being like, man, life's in a weird spot right now. Why? I don't want to do that. More power to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I had some really great conversations with a bunch of devs about like this type of stuff last week during the conference. And so many of them are, you know, locked down to these confidentiality agreements that they can't ever really talk about their experiences in a real way publicly.
Yeah.
So the fact that that Game Informer was able to like have this conversation and put it all in print.
And he talks in there really too, great. Or one of the things Game Informer calls out from the interview is the fact that him and Ubisoft on great terms, that, like this isn't, you know, it's just how it's an interesting thing. He didn't want that job and that's totally honest, but
yeah,
what you're saying, I think was echoed in the development talks I was having or talks with developers, in the way that I think to be a developer now and be successful on not sales level, but maybe on talking to the audience level comes down to not bullshitting, right? Like having answers. And it's similar to what, you know, I was talking about. I was talking about it with Ronnie Hobbs from Friday the 13th. It'll be inserted into Gamescast, not this week, which is Corey Barlog talking about God of War next week, talking about Friday the 13th. And how, you know, they had a, they stepped back at one point and didn't give the community enough information. And that's when it got really bad. And I was like, that same thing happened to Kinda Funny, you know, a year and a half in, where people wanted stuff. I'm like, we're going to get to it, but we're not going to give you an update on it. And so even coming to somebody and just saying like, hey, this is what I know. I don't know more than this, but we are working on it. And we'll keep you updated as we go. Or, hey, I'm just a human being. And, you know, I split with my wife and this happened. And do I want to blow it up and go to France? No. Like, it's cool to see people be human. And I think that goes a long way to breaking down the walls for a lot of people and making them understand that there are people, hundreds of people behind your favorite games, and they are going through the same trials and tribulations you are. So maybe be a little bit better when something slips.
Absolutely.
Number two. Pokemon Go editions are incoming. This is via Kotaku. Trainers will begin receiving research tasks later this week, adding new activities and challenges that can be completed for in-game rewards. Some of these rewards will lead trainers to access unique storylines that include discovering the mystery behind the mythical Pokemon Mew. I wait with bated breath, Cool Greg. Pokemon Go's new research will feature... Pokemon Go's new research feature will provide traders with unique activities called field research and special research. Field research tasks can be collected by spinning nearby Pokestops, and they include a wide range of Pokemon-related activities. Special research tasks are story-driven activities that may be requested by Professor Willow himself, and they will unfold as the trainer completes more objectives. All right. Keep going, Pokemon Go. Keep Andrew Goldfarb happy. That's all it comes down to. I want more information on the Ghostbusters game. My little Ghostbusters ghost catching game. That's what's going to be the hotness this year, Andrea.
Oh, yeah? It's not going to be that Jurassic Park Pokemon Go ripoff?
No, not that one. For sure not. No.
Ghostbusters. Who wants to catch dinosaurs?
No, nobody. We're already going to have the Jurassic, you know, build your own park game on consoles and PC. We'll be fine. We don't need to worry about it there.
Okay.
But hey, that's cool. I still think it's really cool that Pokemon Go is going and doing new things.
I think so too. I'm actually more excited for Niantic's Harry Potter game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of course. Cool
no,
Greg.
No, literally nothing about it.
Cool
but
Greg, what's
I
your
want,
hype level for the Harry Potter game?
Well, I'm juiced.
You juiced?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Number three is one you tossed in, Andrea.
Yeah.
So why don't you take it away?
Oh, sure. System Shock Remake is back in development and is due Q1 2020. So GamesIndustry.biz wrote this up. They said the crowdfunded remake of the sci-fi adventure System Shock is back in production after the developer put it on hold last month.
Yay.
Night Dive Studios previously told Kickstarter backers it was revising its plans for the updated System Shock, but stressed that the project had not been canceled. At the time, CEO Stephen Kirk made the odd statement that maybe we were too successful when explaining why work on the game had been paused. And that's Stephen Kick, sorry. But he elaborated on this while talking to PC Gamer at GDC last week. Quote, we understood based on the feedback, especially that we weren't going in the right direction with the game, what we promised to them. That's what really caused the shift in what we're doing now, which is going back to what we established and represented with the Unity demo. So following the success of the crowdfunding campaign, raising $1.3 million, the team switched from Unity to Unreal, an engine they plan to stick with, but the final product will be closer to the original game, with business development head Larry Cooperman saying that the feature creep and the team's desire to put their own stamp on the project, meaning it, quote, it wouldn't have been true to the System Shock vision, end quote. Night Dive says it plans to ship exactly the game that was promised in a time frame that we'll get out as fast as we can, but still doesn't expect a release before Q1 2020. So that's 3 years later for those counting than the original release date of Q4 2017. It means the System Shock remake will more than likely arrive after System Shock 3, the Starbreeze published new entry with original developers Paul Neurath and Warren Spector at the helm.
I'm glad there's an update. Yes. I'm glad they didn't just ghost, because this was, I remember this one. He was like, yeah, we were too successful. Wait, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, I understand that everybody's got to hone in their vision and have something.
Right. I mean, this is why producers are such an important role at studios.
Yeah.
Because creatives are always going to want to keep creating. And then the producer's there to be like, nah. We got time.
Yeah.
It's
Mario time.
It's like me with Nick Scarpino.
It is.
You know, he's just letting it all flow out on the morning show. And I'm like, no, come on, we got
it. You are using the term creator liberally at that point. But yes, it is like that. You know, somebody's got to be there. System Shock is an interesting one, because I never played it. But
same.
Obviously, when we get to Bioshock and everybody else, everyone starts talking about that game, putting on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. I was and still am interested in the remake, let alone System Shock 3 coming eventually.
Absolutely. But, and I really enjoyed Prey, which a lot of people said had lots of kind of reminiscence items from System Shock. And of course, I likened it a lot to Bioshock. And
sure.
Clearly, System Shock came first.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to play this once it finally comes out.
It'll be interesting to see when we get either of them. Even now saying, okay, Q1 2020. Okay, good. You said one before. And again, what you're saying, you are a creator and you do keep going. Like, will they let it push again? Will they ever really get there? And then also with System Shock 3, a game that got announced awkwardly, I remember, where it was just like, oh, this is happening. I'm like, okay. And when are we really going to see that game as well?
I mean, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Warren Spector should just stick to Epic Mickey. You know what I mean? Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
I'm stoked for us both to jump into the System Shock remake and see what it's all about, but it's so far away.
It really is.
2020. Isn't it weird to be talking about 2020?
It is.
Man, we're old people. If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Xmorph Defense, European Assault on the Xbox One. And that's it.
Literally one game.
Monday is a slow day. Tomorrow you'll be inundated. Then new dates for you. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice is coming to Xbox One, including an enhanced edition for the Xbox One X version. Good to know.
Oh, I should probably give the actual date for that.
I was going to get there.
I wrote that.
Well, I remember.
I wrote that in there and I didn't write the date down.
I want to say it popped over the weekend, right?
It did. Yeah. So I got a press release about this. But let me just pull up the date really quick. Apologies, that was my bad.
I'm gonna draw a Superman symbol while you.
I was like, oh, you didn't put the Xbox version of Hellblade in there. It's coming on April 11th.
Not far off at all.
Yes.
A great game. Easy platinum. I'm sure it'll be easy. 1,000 chivos for you.
And if you pre-order the game, you can get it for 10% off.
Oh, nice.
That April 11th date, let me just double check, might be Europe. I think it might be coming. No, it's all territories. Okay, mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure.
At some point, too, can we talk about your nails?
Oh, sure.
What is happening? Are these Easter eggs? Easter nails?
Well, they're kind of like spring colors. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do like straight Easter because that'd be a lot of
they're pastels.
Pastel,
yeah. If you're, yeah, they have some pastel.
You guys
can't
see
because
they're kind of far from the camera. It's pink, and then like a peach sparkle, and like a what kind of blue is that?
It's a darker blue.
Yeah. Kind of like a slate blue.
Oh, all right. Look at that. That was a good use. Good deals of the day for you. Monster Hunter World is $36. They're fucking getting you with that extra buck. For Best Buys, Gamers Club Unlocked, and $45 for everyone else. Greg Miller says, that's a steal. Get that game. And they're, look at that, chasing Amazon, because Amazon had it for $45. And now Best Buy's like, fuck y'all, we're doing this. Time for reader mail. I'm gonna start
one more deal of the day.
Breaking news.
The Darkness 2, ooh, which is a fantastic game if you never played it.
Don't worry about Darkness 1. You can just jump into Darkness 2.
Correct. Is free in the Humble Store for the next 48 hours only. So apologies to people who are listening or watching this late. But in humblebundle.com/store, you can get The Darkness 2 for free for the next 48 hours. And if you play on PC, like, this is a no-brainer. If you haven't played it, it's great.
Agreed. Very fun game. I liked it a lot. We're going to jump into reader mail, which is going to be brought to you by somebody, but I want to point out we're jumping in. I'm screwing up the order here. We're going to jump right to the Far Cry questions. All right. That's where we're going to start.
Sure. But you're going to do this first, right?
Of course. Oh, no. I already mentioned the ad. Yeah. Okay. The ad's coming. Don't worry. I'm just letting you know. I'm telling everybody who just jumped to this time code.
Greg, I am ready.
Andrew's ready for anything. You know who else is ready for anything? Me, because I wear MeUndies, our sponsor. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable, right? Don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies.com. They are the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month, they have new and exciting prints, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. I am Greg Miller. I wear MeUndies only now. I've made a big deal about this recently. Threw away the rest. I had, you know, the one set of MeUndies and the one set of the other ones. Threw away the other ones. I don't like them. MeUndies pays for this ad time. I have to pay for the underwear, though, I want you to know. Because I like them that much, Andrea.
They're soft.
They are super, super soft. Do you wear these? Does John Drake wear these?
John only has one pair so far.
John Drake, why are you screwing this up? They're soft. They're great. They have cool patterns on them. They're fun. You can do. They did the matching pair for Valentine's Day.
That's
which
the
cool
one we got. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. See, you only got one though, huh?
Yeah.
Do you coordinate on like the calendar on what's going to be matching MeUndies Day?
No.
MeUndies uses Lensing Micro Model. I know you guys have written in several times to tell me how to pronounce this. I forget it. In their underwear, it's a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fiber that starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabric you've ever experienced. MeUndies adventurous prints and designs are all limited edition, and new patterns are released every few weeks. But most importantly, there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They guarantee you will love the undies or your money back. So MeUndies has an exclusive offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so glad. You're gonna love them. 100% satisfaction guarantee, as I've said. To get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. Andrea Renee, as I have stated, Stone and Alex at Ubisoft are sons of bitches.
Are wonderful people.
Just some of the worst people I've ever met.
Just fantastic human beings.
If I ever see them in the streets of San Francisco, I find
rocks. The kindest
guys
you've ever met.
They gave us the thing. You and I have been playing Far Cry, but we've had limited amounts of time to play.
Correct.
How far are you in Far Cry 5 right now?
So I just beat one region of the game. So
gotcha.
This time in Far Cry, it's the open world is in three distinct regions, each overseen by one of
the father's
Joseph
people,
Seed's people. So then, so there's like a boss for each area, and then there's like the super boss. So I have now just conquered one area of
cool.
the game.
Okay. I am halfway through my first area. We're both in the same area. You know, the one, southwest.
John Seed's
exactly,
area.
Exactly.
Yes.
The guy who's baptizing people.
Correct.
Exactly.
He's making them atone.
Atone, as they say. Yes. What do you think?
So far, I'm really enjoying my time with the game. It feels very much like Far Cry in a great way. Mm-hmm. The gunplay is great. The upgrading system feels a lot more customizable based on your play style than it has previously. I like that they have really refined the crafting system, so you're not constantly having to go hunt for animal pelts to get specific upgrades. Instead, they're now perks that you get, and you get perk points by completing challenges and story missions.
I'm a big fan of how they're doing perk points.
Yeah,
so like what it is you go into your main menu and you have a list of basically side objectives that aren't quests, but like some are hunt a deer, get this many total kills, kill this many people with an assault rifle. When you accomplish those, you get a set number of perk points that it says there that you can then jump in to apply to what perks you want for your character.
Exactly. So I really am enjoying the perk point system. And I think that, you know, as far as like mechanically, it feels very much like a polished version of Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
That said, they're not really doing a whole lot as far as innovation goes. Like there isn't like a big giant new mechanic for Far Cry 5, which is not a bad thing. It's just if you were looking for that, then you're probably going to be a little disappointed.
Right. I think if any of these PR hacks, Stone or Alex, walked in here right now, maybe, I think they might try to argue, not they, I mean Ubisoft, the developers, whoever, might try to hang their hat on the people for hire, right?
The guns for hire.
Having Boomer,
that's
having
definitely
the sniper.
Like the new thing. Yeah,
exactly. But even that is, and granted, I'm super low level in the game. Last night I played maybe 2 hours. I'm having a great time. Maybe an hour and a half before that on Monday, before a week caught up with me and I went away over the weekend. I'm like, oh yeah, Boomer. I'm not even thinking about him yet. I'm sure as I get further and get more tactical, I'll have to start thinking about who I want to bring where.
As much as I love Boomer, not only as a character, he's only useful for like one thing. Like his
marking enemies?
Yeah, his ability is to mark enemies.
Just like D-Dog. What a Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, and other than that, he's like, I find him incredibly distracting because much like Dogmeat and Fallout, like I hate seeing him like go down and me having to go like revive him and like hearing his like the dog cry like when he gets like hit. I'm like, I can't.
But
it's
you
like
just come
so
over and you pet his belly and he gets right back up.
Yes, that is the bonus for him, is that his cooldown is quicker because you can revive him and he doesn't ever like die.
Yeah.
Unlike your human counterparts, which do die, and then like the respawn takes forever. But you can use perk points to shorten the respawn time for.
What did you focus on putting your points into so far?
Health first and foremost, because like, man, I had to drop it down to easy because I was like, this game is just giant. I need to get through it.
Sure,
it's still really really challenging.
Yeah,
I feel like it's harder than previous Far Cry games, and I don't know if that has to do with AI design, if it has to do with me just not approaching certain outposts the right way, or if the NPCs are just much more difficult to take out this time around.
What I've gone around to is, I think for me personally, and I can always, you know, obviously speak to that, taking down outposts, the place where you gotta go and mark everybody, then go in and take them out, I think that is just as hard or easy as it was in other ones. But the thing I'm running into and finding like, fuck for real, is the amount of patrols that come by. RJ writes in and says, hi, Andrea. because you tweeted this out.
I did.
Good job. Thanks for supporting the show. Is there a problem with the enemy spawn points in Far Cry 5? I've heard some reviews criticizing this part of the game as at times patrols get too annoying. I'd really appreciate your opinion on this matter. Thank you. RJ, I'm not Andrea Renee, as you may know, even though redhead, red shirt, just saying. I totally agree with this, where like hanging out with Christine over the weekend. So yeah, that's why it's on my mind. Last night I'm sitting there and I'm thinking back to when I was playing the Far Cry's and she'd be around or watching or seeing it, right?
Right.
And then this time watching this one, I was very much like, oh, Jen was like, can I watch? I'm like, yeah, sit down and watch this. Like, the story's real cool. Everything that's happening here is real cool.
John was watching me play too all weekend.
And so I was like, let me get to a story part like I used to back in the day to show stuff off. And it was like, oh, well, the next story's over there. And granted, I'm super early. Next part's over there. I start walking, right? And a patrol comes up. All right, fuck. I try to kill them. As I'm fighting that patrol, another fucking thing of patrol. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then somebody else walked over and killed me. And I was just, and Jen's like, this isn't fun. I'm like, it is. I'm super early. I've cleared nothing. But for those first steps, it is. When I think of Far Cry, I think very much back to being in the old house with Colin and Christine and Mike Mitchell even. Yeah. When we, everybody would watch and be and like thinking of like, cool, now I'm on a wingsuit. Now I'm doing this. I'm thinking of end game content where I'm like super powered. Whereas showing it to Jen last night was like, I'm still nothing. I'm a grub on the ground here. So it's hard to get going and hard to get through all this stuff. But it did change my play style. And where I was like, all right, Jen herself was like, all right, I'm going to start looking at stuff on my phone because it's more going to be more fun to play this with you. But watching you, because what I did is like, all right, fine, fuck the roads. I'm just moving through the woods and the darkness and finding things there and taking them out and moving to my next point.
Oh, yeah. The random enemy patrols in the world are incredibly hostile. I feel like in previous Far Cries, even though most of the enemy NPCs would always interact with you in a negative way, this in particular, like the NPCs are like incredibly aggressive in a way that it feels like they're more so. And I don't know if it's just because it feels like you're in an active war zone, kind of.
Yeah.
Because the opening cinematic really sets the tone for just how like messed up this region is. Hope 100%. County is just like really under the thumb of this dictator in a way that feels like a little bit more nefarious than previous villains have.
Mm-hmm.
And I had tweeted about the villains this morning. They just feel like a particular brand of evil, and their followers have a craziness to them that makes them really, difficult to deal with. Not to mention that half of them are like hopped up on some kind of drug, this bliss drug that you're gonna find. But I agree. And then also like some of the respawn points where if you die and they spawn you back in, like I've gotten spawned back into active firefights before, and I'm like, this is not fair. Like, cause now I'm just like right back in getting shot, and until you level up your health or make sure you're always wearing body armor, I mean, you go down really quickly. It's like two or three shots and you're dead.
Yeah.
So you have to really be running away all the time or finding cover and that's the thing. Playing smart.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I started putting the perk points into immediately like, okay, cool. I started unlocking stuff just to get to, okay, cool. Now I can have an extra weapon. Because I love having the bow and arrow for stealth when I want to infiltrate. But
that was like the first thing I needed to unlock.
When it pops off and it's like they know you're there, which is it feels like it's happening to me more than it did in other Far Cry's, which is good. I like the variety. It's like, well, this bow and arrow is not helping me as they're running and shooting me with a million different guns.
It's sad that I haven't been able to use the bow and arrow as much as I want, because I love that weapon in Far Cry, but it's really ineffective against a lot of these enemies.
This is such a complicated thing to get to, right? Is I do feel like you were talking earlier about gun customization, how that's cool and how you're not crafting as much. Because before it was like, man, I want a new, thing for more arrows or whatever. So I was hunting all these different things to get more arrows. Whereas now that stuff, extended mags, all that jazz for your guns is through the point system, the dollar system. You go to the store and you can, buy what you want, put on the customizations. I have this, assault rifle that now has a scope and extended mag and all this and a suppressor. And what I like about it, but what's different, I feel, and maybe I'm wrong and somebody will correct, or not, it's not a you're wrong thing, but maybe I'm just missing the boat, is that I feel like this time around, it is very much like, cool, what's the next mission I want to do? Oh, I'm going to go take down this cult outpost. On the way to it, I'm going to hit up the gun store, because that's where you select, and if you already own the gun, you equip it there. And so it's like, I want this gun and this thing and that throwable and that item. And so that I'm going out very much with a loadout for that kind of mission. Whereas like, if I'm just going to sneak in and I want to be stealthy, then that's when I'm going to equip the bow and go off and handle it this way.
Yeah.
Whereas in previous stuff, it was, I just have a little bit of everything with me and I'll figure out as I go. Now I feel like I have to actually think about how I'm approaching, or how I will approach a situation, and what I'm actually doing, what the objective is.
Yeah. I do have to say though, as much as I like the customization that they've done with the weapons, it's super annoying that I have to go to a gun store if I have to, for some reason, throw away one of the guns that I have. Mm-hmm. Some of the story missions or the cutscenes that kind of like force you through gameplay sections will change your equipment in specific ways. And to me, if that's the case, after I'm now then like kicked out of that and back into the open world, I should either be able to like get all of the gear I had back, mm-hmm. that I started with, or I should be able to like instantly get it. And now obviously you're going to unlock fast travel points.
Yeah.
But you don't always want to be fast traveling back to a shop just to equip the gun that you just bought.
Yeah.
The vehicles in particular, it's incredibly frustrating. For example, I did the very popular Testy Festy side quest, which everyone's talking about. And when I completed it, I was playing co-op with Brandon Jones from Easy Allies.
What up? Love and respect.
And so I make a cameo in the Easy Allies Far Cry 5 review, which is up today. And so we were playing and he was in my game. And so we finished the quest together. And I had bought this really cool truck that had like a big gun on the back. So I was driving and he was gunning. And so we drove over to the quest thing. And then we got into the quest, we finished it. And when it kicked us out, the vehicle was gone. Mm. And so in order to get the vehicle back, then we had to like run all the way back to where the vehicle was. Oh, okay. Right. I mean, or we could have fast traveled, but man, oh man, are those loading screens incredibly slow.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought when I hit a slow loading screen, I was like, I feel like I haven't hit a loading screen this slow since Skyrim. Wow. And those are like epically slow loading screens. And so I'm not sure if that's an optimization issue. I'm not sure if that's a PlayStation 4 Pro issue, because that's where I'm playing the game.
I'm playing it too. Yeah. I don't think I mean, granted, you've played way more than me. I don't feel like I'm seeing that often, but like when I die for sure, it is like, okay, what's happening on my phone?
Yeah, it's not quick. And if you're in a firefight and you die, like it's a painful, slow loading to get back into the outpost or wherever you are, where you died.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that maybe they can patch that so it's quicker, or maybe if you guys are playing on other platforms, if you're playing on Xbox One or PC, you know, write in and let us know how your loading times are, because like, I was shocked by how slow they were.
My thing is, I'm still seeing a lot of just weird bugs in it.
My game has locked up like 4 times.
I haven't had that, but I've had it when I was running through the woods, I came over a hill and then there was like nothing. And then it all popped in. I was like, all right, let's pop it. And then it went away again and came back and then went away and popped in. I was like, okay. And then another time I was leaving,
Falls End.
Falls End. Thank you. I was like, I just liberated them. That's cool. I'm going to move on. What's out there? Oh, these guys are holding some people hostage on the road over here. I started walking towards them and I'm marking them with my binoculars. And then I looked over, saw in the peripheral vision, I looked over, there was another guy marching with, doing the marching thing where there was a cult VIP marching with, and I was like, oh, okay. Marked them, turned back to take on these guys. They were gone. The entire event was just gone. And like, I looked over and I turned for like a few seconds, came back, and it was gone. And I was way closer to them, and I looked at my map, and I still had the waypoint I set, but nothing was happening there. Like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I've had the waypoint disappear on me several times, and like these are small little issues they'll hopefully patch.
I can't wait to get home and play it tonight. It's not like these are
exactly. Have you heard if they're doing a day one patch? I assume that they are.
You'd
but
think so, yeah.
But hopefully some of the stuff will be these kinks will get worked out. But overall, you know, the world is pretty fun.
Here's a bigger question. I got two bigger questions for
you.
Okay. Based on stuff you've said already too. Matt writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, what's good? Andrea and KFGD crew. Open world fatigue is real. For the last few years, I've been picky and choosy about which open world games to play. So my question is, how is the story in Far Cry 5? Does it elevate the game to compete with the best games in the series? Parentheses, Far Cry 3.
So this is where I'm conflicted about the game.
Me too.
I was very excited to take on this story because I think it was very, it felt like it had a point of view. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm about a third of the way through the main campaign, it feels like it toes the line of like, we're going to take a stance on something and then it doesn't actually cross the line mm-hmm. into having an opinion.
Yeah.
It just kind of like falls apart in a way. And it, a lot of the violence in the game, and like Far Cry is a violent series, but this, some of this violence seems gratuitous just for the sake of being gratuitous in a way that isn't backed up narratively when they have the framework to really like give it substance, but they don't for some reason. And it kind of falls flat. And that's frustrating because Far Cry is known for these really over the top, well-written villains.
Yeah.
And these villains just kind of, I don't know. There's just something like, there just feels like there's something
Something's missing. Yeah, no, that's my read too, is like the opening of Far Cry 5, which we won't spoil, is so strong and awesome and dark. And it's like, wow, this is this world going to match? It doesn't match that.
No.
You jump in, it's just more Far Cry, and that's fine. Like, I'm totally fine. But I find myself like, oh, these cutscenes I'm getting are super interesting. Mm-hmm. I love the motivations these people are. But when I get in there and like somebody starts talking to me and they're like using the accent or saying that, I'm like, skip. And then it's like I jump in and like these documents I'm trying to read, I'm like, these aren't important. Skip. Like, the cutscenes are very interesting. And mm-hmm. when I'm dealing with the major villains, it's interesting. But then the mashup of the girl running the bar and the priest and stuff like that, I'm just like,
see, I disagree with you there. I think one of the things about the narrative that really shines in this Far Cry versus previous games in the franchise is that each individual outpost feels like it has a personality this time. I feel like if you look at other Far Cry games, a lot of the outposts just feel like Outpost 1, Outpost 2. Whereas here, it's like, you know, this is the mill.
This is
the auto shop, and this is who's running it, and this is where they fit into the world of Hope County.
Sure.
And I really love that they gave those individual items personality, because before, I never was motivated to go and clear every outpost because you never needed to. I felt that they were so samey, just like carbon copies of each other.
Sure.
And they really worked to differentiate that. And I feel like the NPCs in the world, the side quest characters, all have little individual personalities that kind of make up who like Hope County is, who lives there.
I feel like I know it's Far Cry. I just feel they're too jokey. They're too one note to match what the story is sometimes. Where when I actually start dealing with the father
and
his people.
They have to have something cheeky in there to break up the the very like oppressive, violent nature of what's happening with the cult. And so I think that they have to have some levity built in to like give a break from this like, oh my gosh, it's just like blood and guns all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mind that, things like, you know, like the testy festy or having a bear named Cheeseburger or whatever, right? Yeah. Like that's fine. It's very Far Cry.
Yeah.
But I think that there's still the dichotomy between what's happening with the cult and the fun open world aspect of Far Cry. I was hoping that it was going to tie together at some point, like there was going to be a thread there that really connected it. And I haven't found it yet.
JR writes in and says, hello, KFGD, first time, long time. I really enjoy watching and listening to the show. Andrea, since you had some time to play Far Cry 5 over the weekend, what are your thoughts on Joseph Seed, and how does he rank up with Voss from Far Cry 3 and Pagan Min from Far Cry 4? Love everything you guys do.
So, as I said, I feel like he's a particular breed of violent. Not that, again, that Far Cry doesn't have that, but I kind of like the other villains better.
Really?
Because I think they have more personality.
See, I'm so early in it. I'm more interested in his motivations. And I really do. That's why I love these cutscenes. And mm-hmm. I love the main story stuff. It's just like, I want to know more about him. Pagan Min from the jump is awesome. And I was just like, well, who the fuck's this guy? And same with Voss, where he's like terrifying or whatever.
Right.
But like, Joseph, I just want to know more about. I want him to have more screen time. When, no spoilers, but when your baptism scene's happening or whatever, and he shows up, I was like, man, this guy's awesome. And he like commands the scene when he's in it.
Right.
And to watch everybody react to him, I'm like, I want to know more and see more of that. Not to mention, maybe for the first time ever in a Far Cry, I'm like, what is his plan for me? Like, what is it? What, you know what I mean? Like, he's, no spoilers, he's had like multiple chances to kill you, but he doesn't, right? Like, mm-hmm. why? What is he building to? What's going to happen?
Well, you'll definitely hear more about that as you complete the first area.
Okay.
But I agree that I think I'm still not far enough along to kind of figure out like what his end goal is. But I don't know. I just feel like the other Far Cry games have had a little bit more pizzazz. And maybe that's just because it's in Montana. Mm-hmm. And Montana, just by its landscape, is a little bit samey. It's a little bit drab. I mean, I'm from North Dakota, so like, I get it.
We always talk shit about Montana and North Dakota.
No, but North Dakota's the same. Like, I mean, it's just flat across the whole state. Just like Montana's like, hey, we've got evergreens and some mountains. And like, that's it. And so there's just not as much visual differentiating between the regions as I think you may have come to expect from the Far Cry franchise. That doesn't mean it's bad. It still the game looks beautiful. It actually has like a visual feel that previous Far Cries haven't had. And I think it looks really great. And the art is fantastic. I mean, Ubisoft artists are some of the best. But because of that, though, I mean, they did a really great job of capturing Montana. But is that good? Question mark?
Yeah. Alex writes in and says, hey, Tim and Andrea, you can go to hell, Alex. I've been excitedly waiting for Far Cry 5, but as more and more info and footage is released into the wild, I'm worried there is a repetition issue arising. I played through Far Cry 4 and Primal, and they were enjoyable, but it does just seem like this is more of the same with Far Cry 5. Am I off the mark with this initial impressions, or is the story locale enough to set it aside from the rest? Alex, all the way from rainy England. For me, and this is going to be blasphemy, I understand, mm-hmm. Far Cry in a lot of ways reminds me of Telltale games, where I feel like, you know, when Colin and I would talk on PS I Love You and he'd be like, oh, I'm not gonna play that, it's just the same. I'm like, well, I don't think you need to play every Telltale game. You pick and choose the ones that speak to you, right? And so since I fell in love with Far Cry at Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4, I was like, oh, this is more of the same as 3, but refined. Primal's the one I started and I was like, oh, this is all the other Far Cries, but Primal. I'm good. I'm not interested in this mm-hmm. era, this landscape. I wish you the best. I know it's going to be fun. Whereas for me, Far Cry 5 being set in America, having this cult influence, like, oh, man, you're checking a lot of different boxes for me that I don't think, as much as I loved Far Cry 3 and 4, they didn't necessarily do in terms of this, that, or the other. So it is samey, but are the sparkles they're putting on it, is it the things they're putting in there, the accoutrements, is it enough to get you interested?
The accoutrements are very good in Far Cry 5. I love all of the customization options that they have added from a cosmetic standpoint, because it makes you feel more of an attachment to your game and mm-hmm. to the car that you're using, or the boat that you're using, or the outfit that you've put your deputy in, the hairstyle that you've picked.
The specials on the guns, and they have these awesome paint jobs where you put your own paint jobs. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I do want that.
So that, to me, makes it better from a gameplay standpoint. But I mean, there is still a lot of stuff in Far Cry there. I mean, the hunting and fishing are fun mechanics. Doing all of the little side missions where you're rescuing, you know, the hostages that returns, those are great. The sandbox element of Far Cry is back and it feels better because it doesn't feel as weighted down. There's still quite a few things to get distracted with when you're driving from mission to mission.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it's overwhelming, because sometimes I've said before, when you open the Far Cry map, once you've like unlocked all the, like, here are all the different collectibles and that's on it, it, like, you look at it and it's just a sea of icons.
Yep. Yeah.
And this doesn't feel as bad. I mean, obviously there's still a ton of stuff to do, but yes, it's the same, but it's still really good in that way.
I got attacked by a turkey last night. Almost killed me.
So did I.
Yeah.
I didn't want to kill it, but attack me first.
Final question I'm going to give to Oliver, or at least for this, for kind of funny Far Cry 5 stuff. How fun is it to play alone? Most of the videos I've seen are showing the multiplayer aspect of the game. I really enjoyed Far Cry 3 and thought 4 was okay. Since I don't have friends or time to play multiplayer, does it still hold up as a single player experience? Thank you for everything that you do. Have an awesome week,
Oliver. A resounding yes. Far Cry was always designed to be a single player first person shooter.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic to play solo.
It's the only way I've played, and I'm having a great time, and I'm excited to get home and do more and explore my map and da 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 da. How is co-op working? Because co-op was the question. Played it, me and Andy did party mode, you can get it there too. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. But it was fun, but then it was the whole thing of, cool, if you join someone, you keep your XP, but you don't progress the story. And it was like, okay, like, is that worth my time? Were you having fun? Did you jump into Brandon's game?
No, he jumped into my game because he got the review out, so he was pretty much finished with the game.
Okay.
So I didn't want to like see all the late game stuff. So gotcha. He came into my game and it was really easy. It felt really flawless. And he was able to go through all of the story missions with me. So there are certain points where he would just be watching the cutscene that I was watching.
Okay.
But what was great about that is that it didn't like disconnect us at all. And obviously the vehicles are fun with a friend, taking on outposts are more fun with a friend.
Sure.
And it really felt seamless in that way. But definitely not necessary. So a nice added value, but not essential.
Okay. Andrea.
Yes.
Let's push into one or two questions.
Okay.
That are not about Far Cry 5 for the one person who didn't want to hear anything about it, but stuck through this. And we thank you and appreciate love and support.
Sure. I am going to give you a clock check.
I see it. Okay. 13:03. What? You're 15. I'll get you out of here at 10. Let's just do one. All right.
You got it.
And you get the choice. We can talk something about Metal Gear, something about Borderlands 3, or something about cancer.
Well, I don't know much about Metal Gear, so I'll let you pick from the other two.
Ooh, I know a lot about cancer.
Do you want to talk about cancer, or do you want to talk about Borderlands?
Well, Borderlands is just like, is it going to happen this year? You think we're going to see something at E3?
Yes. I think we'll see something this year.
See something at E3 as well.
I don't know if it's coming out this year.
I doubt that heavily.
But I think we see something this year.
It's on somebody's stage at E3, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, Brian. Your question's answered. Now we're going to jump over to Amiad, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. And says, "Hi, Greg. I have an important question that if you have a chance to answer, either on the show or off, I would greatly appreciate. I am a medical student at GW School of Medicine, and one of my big career goals is to unite the gaming world and the medical world to improve medicine and the healing process. My question for you, when you were battling cancer, did video games play a role in your recovery? And if so, could you talk about how they impacted you? Second, I am in the medical world and have the tools to bring about change in this world. Recently, I've been doing research with a VR application to help patients improve their vital signs. I have a deep passion for video games, but I do not have an in to the video game world to properly begin bridging those two fields. Do you have any suggestions on how I could begin making connections with people/developers in the industry? Any advice would be great. And if you have any interest in getting involved with this, I would love to speak to you further on the topic. Thank you. Thank you for all the hard work you do. It's kind of funny. Amiad, for your second part, I think there's a lot of different ways to get involved. You're talking about VR. I would identify VR developers that are doing cool stuff in the space. Tweet at them. That's the easiest way. They have contact forms on most websites as well. But you can find developers who are passionate about VR and talk to them there.
Yeah, I would say if you go to the websites of the companies you want to work with, if you hit the About Us or Contact, they almost always have a media or press contact. Those are the easiest people to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Tweeting is also good, depending on how robust their community management staff is. But getting to their PR or media liaison is probably the quickest way to get access to things.
Yeah, and they're going to be wanting to talk about this topic, so there's something there. So yeah, talk to them for sure. In terms of when I was battling cancer, did video games play a role in your recovery? And if so, can you talk about how they impacted you? Of course they played a role in recovery. I mean, video games are, you know, what I'm all about. So they were a big part of it. There's a whole shtick on youtube.com/kindoffunny for my cancer panel where I detail every in and out of my cancer stuff. And I talk about it there that, you know, I thought I'd be racking up platinum trophies left and right at chemo, and it did not work that way. Chemo puts you on your ass, and every time is different. And yeah, I played very little video games at the actual cancer stuff. But coming home, I did. The problem was the fact that you don't own your own body or emotions at that point. So like, if roles were reversed, right? Like, it's happening now. Far Cry 5's out. Man, I really want to play Far Cry 5, but on that day, on that night, am I going to have the energy to, the desire to? Am I already so pissed off that getting into a match and getting killed by a bunch of different fucking militia people show up and then a turkey kills me? Am I going to want to keep battling up that? But there'd be different ways to, in terms of like, you know, getting that into combining your worlds and stuff. I think that would be the thing, is that you need a video game that's relaxing for some people that wouldn't make the trials and tribulations you're going through harder. But there's going to be times, obviously, where I did play games that I wanted to be challenged in and all these different stuff. It kind of is on the whim, and the whims change quite a bit. So smaller, digestible experiences is what I would say. Andrea?
Yes.
This is where people squad up. I didn't squad anybody up today. The document got away from me. I got Cameron in here. I had a million people walking through. I didn't do it. I can open the thing, I guess. Here's what we'll do. We'll do your wrong first.
Okay.
Andrea?
Yes.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What do we mess up today?
Well, the first... The first thing is from Ignacio Rojas. He says, I just want to make sure my name is in the ranking. No way I'm letting Capitalist Pig reach the top.
Damn.
The current rankings here are...
Don't gamify it.
No, they're tied. Luke Carwolf and Ignacio Rojas are tied.
Oh, dang, son.
The Indie Boy says, your form's SSL certificate has expired. You just need to renew it. Not really a security problem with the forms.
Yeah, no, I that's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I corrected myself. Capitalist Pigs. I Capitalist Pig. I said Stephen Kirk, but then the next sentence I said Stephen Kick.
He did. She did.
Okay. Oh, another deal of the day. Bobby Wasabi says, Scribblenauts Showdown is now 50% off on the Nintendo Switch eShop.
Oh, I heard it's not that great.
Wait,
is that, that's the multiplayer one. Yeah.
I played it with the girls on Switch, and a lot of the mini games are difficult to figure out what to do, and then by the time you figure it out, they're over.
It's over, yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if that's like you just gotta fail at it once and then you play it again. But with how many different games there are, I'm like, it's not fun that you don't tell me how to play the game.
Sure.
And then the game's over.
Yeah.
They're just so quick.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. So I'm on the fence about it. It was a little disappointing, but fair. I haven't played enough of it to make a final judgment. Ignacio Rojas says Guns for Hire was a thing on Far Cry 4.
Okay.
But it was not as robust.
Yeah, was
as
it a dog and a sniper
in Far
and
Cry
a
5? There are 9 different people you can get in Far Cry 5. And on top of that, they have your roster of additional people that can come in and help you. So throughout the world, when you meet NPCs, you'll get an option to hire them, and you can hire 3 people to be on your squad. And each of those people has a different class. So some of them are snipers with sniper rifles. Some of them have bow and arrows. Some of them have other types of guns, and sometimes they have different abilities. So like some of them can like scout enemies, and some of them just come in and shoot things. Those people can actually be very helpful in firefights as well. So not only do you have your gun for hire, but you have your squad of people as well.
Nice.
Which is great. And then and Spiky John just wants to say, I love the new format for You're Wrong.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So that's all that's in the doc right now. So.
All right. Now it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Y'all play games together and have a good time. Today, Marc-Andre needs help on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. PSN name, Bobby Joe 321. I just heard the news that I got the job I applied for months ago, beginning a brand new career next month. The only problem? I have to move out far from my hometown, and most of my friends don't play online. If you're into co-op games on any PlayStation console, hit me up. Bobby Joe, 321. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily. A full 4 minutes before Andrew Renee has to get out of here. If you like that, the show, that is, you need to be part of it. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. Tomorrow, Tim Geddes joins me for another episode. But until then, safe travels, Andrew Renee.
Hey, thank you.
No problem. And no, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.